Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dr. K Show. I am so excited for this episode because we are going to talk about the importance of strength training. And I have Mark Breeden here from at Training Strong Women. That's where you can find him on Instagram. And he focuses on moving away from the weight on the scale. Mark wants you to feel badass from what your body is capable of instead of what it is supposed to look like. Mark wants you to feel confident and badass and use your fitness journey to enhance your life. He believes every woman can be a strong, badass lifter and has made the vision of his career to change the way we see fitness. You can find more about him, and we'll talk about this afterwards too, on Instagram at Training Strong Women or on his podcast, Who's Lifting Today. So Mark, welcome. I'm really excited to have you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm really excited. I'm glad we like figured out a time that worked for both of us. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's start off. How did you get started into strength training, and just give us a little background into what you do?
Yeah, absolutely. So for myself, when I originally started strength training, for me, it was more of a shallow reason, which was like to, you know, be pretty for women. And yeah, that's kind of like, that was, you know, the starting reason as like a 17-year-old man, that was like the reason behind it. Oh, yeah. And, you know, as I got more into lifting weights and strength training, I realized that the benefit of this wasn't really about aesthetics in the first place, is that it was a process that makes you feel very empowered. It really like crushes limiting beliefs. And as I was training people in like a commercial gym, I saw the same process with them, is that like once I eventually started training in scale, especially with the women that I trained with, is that it really, you know, the value of strength training is far beyond like just for like an aesthetics look or like just to lose weight, is that it really is like, it improves your health. It makes you feel confident. Like there's a ton of confidence in the process of lifting weight you never thought you could lift before. And I think like that's really valuable, is that people tend to underestimate how strong they can become. So when they lift something that they never thought they could, it's like, wow, like I'm actually more capable than I thought I was. And I'm a big advocate that like the process of strength training is valuable from like a physical perspective, like a mental perspective, even just like learning things about life that I think are like, we can talk about those. I'm happy to talk about those as well. Yeah. And that, you know, I'm a big advocate that like strength training has so much to offer that we don't talk about, that I would love to talk about more.
Yes. I learned about strength training when I first got into CrossFit, back in like 2010, because my sister was like, you have to try this. It's the coolest thing. So that's where I first got introduced to like actually weightlifting. Up until that point, going to the gym was like running on a treadmill, maybe doing some of like the machines or whatever, but I never knew like what I was doing or how to do them properly. Right. So I had no idea until I got into CrossFit, and then my journey sort of like evolved from that point in time.
Nice, that's great.
But tell me a little bit more. So why is strength training so important? Not just maybe from like an athlete perspective, but just for everybody. Why should we be considering strength training?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a few reasons, and I'll try and not make this its own mini podcast in itself. But I think when we talk about, you know, for me, so strength training is kind of like looking at more of like a performance-based goal. So we're talking about getting your first pull-up, like deadlifting your body weight for the first time, like focusing on like lifting heavier through like a process of training. And one of the benefits that I think works across the board is that it breaks limiting beliefs. I think especially with like the women that I work with, is that a lot of them kind of come in unsure of how strong they can be and tend to underestimate. I hear a lot of numbers like, oh, like maybe I'll be able to deadlift like 60 or 80 pounds, or like use 20 pound dumbbells for lifts or things like that. Right. And women are a lot stronger than that. It can be a lot stronger than that. I'm like a big advocate that like a new lifter, if they're doing the training and their form is good and they have a good program, can like deadlift their body weight in like 3 months or less. And I've seen this many times, and I've seen this with women who are in their 60s. I've seen this with like totally new lifters, even like people with like previous injuries or illnesses, that like this is a very like achievable goal. And I think like it's cool because a lot of people, when they start strength training, don't think that's possible. Like that's like something that like, if I do a bodyweight deadlift, like this is going to take years. Like this is going to take a long time, that like if it's even possible at all. And so it's cool when you start training and you like get there so quickly, that it really like does build confidence and kind of shows you like, it almost, you're proving yourself wrong in like the best way possible is like how I would kind of describe it. So I think like, it's a very like empowering process, I think, as well from like the athletic population, is that for people who like want to do their sport for a long period of time, like if they want to be a runner for decades, or if they want to do whatever, like basketball or gymnastics, whatever sport it might be, is, you know, the longer you can stay healthy, the longer you can stay not injured, the better it is for your sport. And so, you know, it's one of those things that like strength training really helps minimize that. It has almost like a rehab effect, or almost like a pre-rehab effect. And I think like that's super important too, because like for someone who wants to compete in the next race, the next competition, whatever that might be, we have to make sure that you stay healthy so that you can keep doing the sport you love. And so this is why you're seeing a lot of like, even like athletes who aren't necessarily about strength, like marathon runners is kind of an example, that like they should still incorporate strength training, because it allows them to keep doing the thing they love and make sure they don't get injured, because it doesn't matter how good you are as a marathon runner if like you like hurt your knees or hips. And so like that I think is like important, and strength training helps like reduce that risk and like lets you do the sport that you love.
Yeah. So when it comes to strength training, like what are some of the things that like when someone comes to work with you, and maybe they don't really have any idea of where to start, they might not have ever really done strength training before, what are some of the things that seem to have like maybe held them back a little bit, and how do you help them work through those steps?
Yeah, for sure. So there's kind of like two main things that I've noticed for like a totally new lifter, what stopped them is one is just the lack of knowledge base, where it's like a lot of people will go to the treadmill or like to something cardio based, because you kind of know how to do it out of the gate, that like you turn on the treadmill and that you go in, and that it requires like there is technique to running, but like you don't necessarily need to know that to start running, whether
you
as
you can just like run from your house.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, yeah, you get the basic idea, whether as if someone wants to like deadlift their body weight, like there is a technique base that exists to that. And like how you train for that isn't super obvious when you're not, you know, well-developed in the strength training world. So I think like part of it ends up being a lot of like an education process, where we have to like teach like how, what a hip hinge is, where we have to teach like what form looks like for you specifically, because everyone's built a little bit different. So form's going to look a little bit different from person to person. There is overlap for sure, but it's going to be a little bit different depending on who you are and where you're coming from. I think that's like the big one for sure. I think the second one is also like not understanding what the expectation should be, or like what is good results or bad results. Cause I think if like you haven't lifted before, it's hard to say like where you should be or how strong you should be getting, or even like what amount of weights to use, I think is also like a big thing as well, is that we, you know, we have to kind of talk about like, you're a new lifter, what to expect. And as there are people who like overestimate what they should be using for sure, but my experience has been people underestimate how much they should be doing. Is that like that? Yes. They'll be like, you know, keeping all their dumbbells like less than 10 pounds, or like keeping everything super light. And it's like, this isn't really the case for a lot of different exercises, even if you're new, that like someone could be doing, you know, like 30, 40 pounds. Someone could use the barbell from day one for certain exercises, that like you don't necessarily need to start with like 5 pound dumbbells across the board, that you actually like your innate strength is actually like stronger than you might think. And so a lot of that is almost like pushing people to lift a little bit heavier, just because they tend to underestimate their strength even going in.
Oh, absolutely. There's been many workouts where I've chosen a certain weight and the coach is like, mm-mm.
Yeah,
you're
yeah,
going absolutely. Up on that one. Do you think that people, women particularly, do you think that part of the reason why they underestimate is they just underestimate themselves? Or do you think part of it is that they're like afraid of getting hurt?
I think it's both. I think it's that you're afraid of getting hurt, which I think there's a part of that that's okay. That like the fear of getting hurt can almost allow you to focus on form more, can almost focus on, and like, I think like that, so that I think there's like some value, like I'm going to generalize really hard here, but, when men go and work out, they tend to like overestimate how much they should be lifting, and it can sacrifice like form. And like, I would say I was a perfect example of this, by the way. I'm like totally throwing myself under the bus. And then I would find that like the women that I work with tend to like underestimate how much they could lift. Which I would prefer if they underestimated, because that means it's still good form and good movement.
Sure.
So the fear of getting hurt, I think there's aspects of that we need to work on, but it almost indirectly gets them to focus on the process of strength training. So there's like an underlying good thing there. But also kind of what you're talking about when saying it's both, I do think that people who underestimate their skills in the gym, there is a trend that I've noticed that they also underestimate their skills in life. And that it's not just like a strength training specific problem, is that it tends to be about like their job or like the sport that they're doing, or about like kind of like almost like a life problem across the board. Now what's great about strength training is that strength training can like indirectly help that process, which is cool, because like a lot of the times when you're, you know, you underestimate yourself, you almost need to like prove yourself wrong in at least some aspect of life. And like strength training for some people can be that place, which is cool, which is like, and it's a very controlled environment, and it's allows you to kind of realize that you were selling yourself short. And I think like that's really valuable as well. And it's hard to make that environment happen outside of strength training or in life, but you can actually make it happen in like the weight room, which is cool.
It is really cool. So when we're talking about strength training, are we talking about like the crazy kind of like CrossFit, walk into the gym and there's just like a lot of, it's high intensity, it's kind of crazy weights dropping all over the place? Or like, what are we talking about when we're talking about strength training?
Yeah, for sure. This is actually going to be like very individual depending on the person.
Sure.
So as an example, like strength training can be something like squatting or deadlifting your body weight for somebody. That could be their strength training goal. Mm-hmm. For some people, it can be getting their first pull-up. For some people, it can be push-ups. I think it's really important that when you are strength training, that you have to define it for you. Like I think having your personal fitness goal matters a lot, because at the end of the day, you need to work towards something that matters to you specifically. And if you don't, it's really hard to stick to a routine. Like as kind of an example, I'll use myself as an example, where I had like a deadlift goal for 4.5 years. This was a big goal of mine. It meant a lot to me. And the reason I could stick with it for 4.5 years is because I enjoy deadlifting. That deadlift goal meant something to me beyond just like being a number. And I actually like enjoyed the process of going through it. And I think everyone needs to pick that for themselves. Like for you, it might not be a deadlift goal. For you, it might be being able to like pick up your kids or being able to play with them later on. It doesn't necessarily need to be like a specific performance goal, but I think everyone has to decide like what would be a goal that would make me feel strong, I think is very important and is going to vary from person to person.
Right. So, and part of it too, right, is do you use like still a lot of like the Olympic weightlifts and those types of movements, or are you also doing different things that are more targeted towards, like could strength training be with bands and with, you know, different types of functional movements, or is it all kind of like dumbbells and barbells and all that kind of stuff?
Gotcha. So I think if you go the bands route, is that it can make you stronger, but you're almost limited in what you could do or how you can progress, where like the bands work for a period of time. They're probably fine for beginners. And I think bands can still have a place in a lot of different aspects. I think they're really specifically like pull-up assistance bands, I think have a lot of value, especially if you're like working out at home.
Yeah.
One of the challenges of bands is that you can only make them so difficult, and you just kind of get to a point where it's not going to be the same as like having dumbbells or having a barbell. I think like one of the values, the benefits of having a barbell is that you can load it for as how strong as you are. Where if you're a beginner, like you're going to use closer to like the bar amount or maybe add a little bit. Or if you're like a really strong person, like you can just keep going with it. And so its progression is easier. Whereas bands, yes, you can make them more difficult, and there is different tensions of bands that you can buy, but you do reach a point where like, it's just not going to be the same as like using dumbbells or using a barbell. What I would say is that like, it can be both, but I do think if someone's gonna be on a strength journey, that like having some like real weights is going to be very beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've seen that over time, right? It's like, in many ways, like research has definitely demonstrated specifically for women that strength training is really important for bone health and for building up that lean muscle tissue. There's so many health benefits to it. And the sooner that you get started, the better. If you can get started in your 20s, that's great. If you get started in your 40s, that's great. If you're 70 or 80, it's great. If you can start strength training, you can do it at any time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, yeah, for sure. If you're younger, you can like build more of a foundation and kind of go from there, and that'll allow you to keep strength on later in life. I don't want people to think that like strength training is just like a young person's game though. Is that like, I have clients now in their 40s, 50s, 60s, like they're getting stronger, like they're becoming healthier. And that even if you're a person who didn't come from like a strength background or like an athletic background, that strength training still has a ton to offer. And the training, some of it looks the same. Some of it looks a little bit different. I think when you're older, like the warm up might be more of an example that like has to be taken more seriously, or more time would have to be taken into that. You might need longer rest periods. Maybe you can't train as intense as often. I'll give like kind of an example where like I have a client who's 64 right now, and she like loves lifting heavy. And one of the things that we got to make sure is that she's properly warmed up, and that she has, and like if she's going to lift heavy, we have to like work up to it, and that she can't lift super heavy all the time. Like, you know, she has deadlifted like 200 pounds before, and she can do it, which is cool. And she did that like 3 months ago.
So awesome.
Yeah, no, she's great. I hope she sees this. And, but for herself, like she can't do that all the time because it affects her body too greatly, and that the recovery problem. So when you're older, you have to be like smarter with your training is what I would say. When you're younger, it still matters. Form still matters. Warm-up still matters. Recovery still matters. But it's what you can get away with is higher, is what I would say. Is that like a 21-year-old who like doesn't take as much rest as they should, or like doesn't have absolute perfect form, like might actually get away with it for a bit. It might catch up to them later, but like in the short term, what they'll be able to sacrifice in the short term will be easier, or like they can get away with it more, is what I would say.
Yeah, 100%. People tend to notice that too, right? You get away with a lot less when you start to get older.
Absolutely. Yeah. But like they can do it, I think is what I want to say, is that I think some people see that and then they're like, I'm too old for strength training. And I want to be clear that like, that's not the case, that like you definitely can. Your training might look different than what it used to, but like you can absolutely get stronger. Like, again, I have clients in their 40s, 50s, 60s, like they're getting stronger. Like they've lifted more weight than ever before. Like we just had to be more careful with like their form, and we just had to be better at it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I don't want people hearing this and being like, I'm too old for strength training, because it really is a thing that can be for all ages.
Oh yes, for sure. I mean, there's 50 plus people, both men and women, that are like running these like massive Ironmans. If they can do that, like,
absolutely, yeah,
then you can strength train, I promise.
and some of them that didn't start young either, which I think is also important to understand, is that it wasn't like, oh, I started at 21, built a foundation, I'm still doing it at 50. Is that like, there are stories of runners who are like starting in their 40s and like are still doing like running farther than I can. Like, I think like that's great. Like, that's awesome. And so it's, you know, you don't need to give up on your dreams just because you're like not 21 anymore. I think that's important. Right.
Okay. So I have kind of a wide group of different types of people that are kind of in my, like that are my listeners and things like that. So I kind of want to break down into maybe just like kind of endurance sports, and then maybe you're kind of lifters-ish. Sure. And so for at least from like, so it's very, I'll set the stage for this one. So it's very common for me to have, or like to see a comment on Facebook, or for somebody to come in and be like, or they'll come and work with me and they'll be running miles and miles and miles a week with no sign of any kind of strength training at all anywhere. Right. And one of the first things I'll ask them is, so do you do any strength training? You know, where does that fit into your schedule? And then, you know, similarly, I'll see posts and people will say, well, should I be like, I don't even know if I really should be doing this. So what if I do that, I don't really know where to start. So for your runners and people like that, would you, or any kind of your endurance sport world of athletes. How would you structure like a training program for them? Would that be like multiple days a week? Like what would be sort of like this ideal scenario if somebody's listening to this or watching it and is thinking, okay, so obviously I need to do this, but like, how do I start?
For sure. So the one thing is I would say is that like, as an endurance athlete, the longer you, like the longer your runs are and the more intense your runs are, you almost need like more strength training proactively, which I think is like, and that becomes tough because now you have to like measure like your running schedule with your lifting schedule. I think like that, and for people who don't want to like lift at all, I think this like becomes challenging. But for what I would say is that you really need to focus on, you know, keeping your joints healthy, specifically like, you know, hips, knees, ankles, things like that. So what I would say as well is that a lot of training that you do is like, it's not necessarily like a squat where it's like both feet are side by side. They're really like one after the other. And so things like single leg exercises are going to be really valuable. Things like split stances are going to be really valuable because it translates more to the movement of your sport. Squats are still great. I think there's still a ton of value and they could be done, but things like a Bulgarian split squat, regular split squats, like single leg RDLs are going to be really, really valuable just to keep your joints in check. And it doesn't mean you need to necessarily go for like the heaviest weight possible because that's not your sport. So that's fair that like, maybe we don't, you know, shoot for a 300-pound deadlift with you, but it's more proactive for yourself. Most of the data says that if you're doing both strength training, like at least twice a week, if not three times a week is probably enough to like be proactive. This is going to be depending on the person. I would say as well is that if you're going to be a runner for long periods of time, having some kind of warm-up that's not necessarily strength focused, but might have some strength aspects to it could also be valuable. Again, it's a warm-up, so it's not super long, but something like a 5-10 minute, like just moving your, you know, keeping your joints healthy before you run. I think running is a really good example too, because running is very high impact.
Yes.
And I think that's something that people don't realize. So you're essentially taking like mini jumps for long periods of time to like greatly simplify what running is. And that is high impact. And so it's one of those things that like, if you're going to be running for like half marathons, marathons, Ironmans, et cetera, is there is like a toll on your body that takes, and doing some proactive strength training is going to help you keep doing that. Because if you don't do that, you just like break down, you get hurt, you'll end up having to do strength training anyways, but now you're doing it as like to, you know, help your injury instead of being proactive. And that like, if you can be proactive, you know, one, it just makes strength training more enjoyable, because training to be proactive is much more enjoyable than training because you're injured.
Yes.
That's like a much happier process. Yes. And much more enjoyable. So yeah, I would say like 2 to 3 times a week, I think single leg exercises are going to go a long way. Core stuff as well is going to be important. A lot of this depends on if you already have an injury or not, but I do think that incorporating it into your routine is important, even if it's only like 30 minutes a day for 3 days a week, just to be proactive and making sure that you like don't get hurt by your sport.
Yeah, 100%. So then on the other side, so if somebody is, you know, a CrossFitter, and that's kind of the realm they're in. Just out of curiosity, this is partially because I loved one of your posts on social media, on Instagram, that, you know, I think it was kind of like your coach is yelling at you and it has to be this like super intense, you know, strength training workout. You kind of just like walked out of the scene.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be super crazy. And I guess here's my real question. Can you kind of overdo it in a sense on like the intensity and strength training, you know, on your body?
Yeah. So I think, and like, I've done like a whole episode.
Let's go to the flip side. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think like one of the things about CrossFit that needs to be understood is that like, it's a group class situation almost always. And I think what's different about it is that everyone's intensity, it's hard for the instructor to like really keep track of everyone's form, what everyone looks like. And so I think the onus is kind of on you to make sure that you're working at the intensity level that makes sense for you. So for you, for an individual person, if you don't want to work at the pace of the class, because it's too fatiguing or it's too difficult, you should have the ability to do that. I know that goes kind of against like the culture of CrossFit, yeah. But it is one of those things that, like, you know, if you want to like take a break, or if you want to like not lift as heavy, or if you want to not do as many reps, especially if your form's being compromised, like that should be fine and is actually normally part of a strength training process where we normally regulate how intense workouts are, or if you're fatigued, what goes from there. So I think like one thing that I would say, and I'm it's a broad brush here, but I would say like CrossFit doesn't have enough focus on recovery and enough focus on rest as a whole. And then I think like if you are going to do CrossFit activities, that being able to rest or go at the intensity that you're comfortable with matters, because not everyone can go 100%. Not everyone, and people really shouldn't be going 100% all the time. Like it's actually like negative. Like we see this in the strength training world where like if your max is 300 pounds, like the amount of times you actually go up to that is pretty few. And being able to understand, like, you know, I don't need to go 100% for this workout. I'm more fatigued than usual. Maybe I'll like join half a class, or maybe I'll take more rest than what the CrossFit instructor or CrossFit, I don't know what they're officially called, CrossFit teachers, instructors, whatever, the person running the class is whatever they're, you know, maybe you have to kind of take the onus on yourself to like take rest when needed. And I think when we also talk about strength, we also need to talk about like how you get stronger, because I think CrossFit as a whole doesn't, and by the way, I'm not saying CrossFit's bad. I think there's a lot of pros to CrossFit. I'm talking on the con, but how people get stronger really is not in the gym. The gym is fatiguing the muscle. The rest and recovery is when your body adapts. And I think like that's important too, is that like you go into the gym, you work a certain level of intensity, you rest, as you're resting, your body recovers and you become stronger, a little bit stronger, like the next time you go in. And that's like, to greatly simplify how strength training works. Yep. So for someone who wants to get stronger, rest days are not only fine, but necessary for the process. Is that, and like, I've had people who went from 6 days a week to 3 days a week of training and actually became stronger than when they were doing 6 days a week, because they finally gave themselves the rest that they needed. Which is cool, because you're like actually doing like less work and getting better results, which is awesome. So what I would say as well is that like rest is important, recovery is important, and that, you know, listening to your body as well and being like, if you're training too hard, if you're constantly low energy levels, if you are in pain or discomfort with certain exercises, these are all kind of signs that you should like take time to rest and recover. And that rest is actually like important to get stronger, that it's not like there's no shame in taking a rest day. It's actually like part of the process.
Yes. It's amazing to me how many athletes come to me and they're afraid literally of taking rest days, as if their competitor, right, is going to not be taking rest days. So they're going to get these additional workouts in, which are going to be that much, make that much of a difference. And I always try to bring them back to like, if you've ever gone on vacation and not worked out, and then come back and came back to the gym, right, and try to do like a lift or something like that, most people PR, because you actually took time off and your body's cool, your body's can adapt.
Yeah, that's absolutely a thing. And this is what I try and tell people too, is that like, you know, a lot of the data shows that like up to 2 weeks of a break is there's like no decrease in strength. Like, like literally didn't matter. And I think like, and even then it's still minor. And that's important, because it means like, if you miss a workout, if you like had a bad week for whatever reason, like, you know, either you didn't feel like going to the gym or there was something else that mattered more. Like holidays are a great example of this, where like people don't really train over the holidays. Now there's really no shame in that, because you're not, you haven't lost any strength. You might've actually given your body the rest it needed and come back stronger. And that, like, you know, people always ask, like, if you miss a workout, what happens? And the answer is like nothing. Like it actually like doesn't matter. Your body's like not upset about it, that you don't need, you know, it's not like you missed a workout and then you're going to like immediately lose strength or performance. That like at the end of the day, like your body doesn't care, and that it's okay. You, as long as you're like consistent most of the time, it really doesn't matter if you missed like a week of training or if you missed like one workout, that like there's actually like no cost.
Right. Oh, so good. Okay. I kind of want to circle back a little bit. So you mentioned it at the beginning a bit about the empowerment really that can come from strength training. And I think we see this specifically for women in general. But I guess the next piece I just want to kind of tease out is, so I see women come from a few different camps. Like some are looking for that, like they do want to build strength, right? They really want to look at it from a health perspective, which I'm all about body positivity here. So anything that we can do to try to help women just feel more comfortable in their body as it is and work towards a goal. And it doesn't matter so much how it changes like the look of your body. It's about, are you getting healthier? Are you getting stronger? Like, are we doing the things that just help to keep you moving and keep you healthy? Right. But let's say somebody comes to you and doesn't want to bulk up, right? They don't want to get super bulky. They don't want to build like tons of muscle tissue and have people look at them and be like, you might as well be a man, right? There's like, there's these super negative things that people say, right, about like people's bodies, which I think is where some of that comes from. Mm-hmm. But like when you're talking about that empowerment that can come from strength training and accomplishing those goals, what would that look like, right, for somebody starting out that's thinking, I just don't want to be bulky?
Sure. So there's a couple avenues there. There was a lot there.
Sorry, so I know, but it's such a big thing.
Great questions. I'm like happy to. I'll try and like answer them one by one. So in terms of getting bulky, I think for each person, the way that I like to address this question is, one, I would love them to understand like, okay, what do you mean by bulky? Like, do you have a specific build in mind? Do you have like, what I've learned from this is that people say, I don't want to be bulky. That can mean anything from like top bodybuilders in the world to like just someone who, just like a woman who has like more muscle mass than like the average. So I think it's important to understand like what that person specifically means. Yeah. And sometimes there isn't even a thing they specifically mean. There's just, it's almost just like their imagination. They just don't want to like turn into a man. The first thing to say is that building muscle mass is a hard process and it takes a long time. And I think for someone who's worried about getting bulky, you'll never get to the point where like, it's not like one day you wake up and then 2 weeks later, you'll just be like a mountain. That like, if your body changes, it's going to be gradual and you can kind of dictate when and where you want to stop. So that's like kind of the one thing I would say is that maybe, you know, if you actually got to that point that like, it would take a very long time. And I think like, or wouldn't happen at all. Where I think like, if their example is like a bodybuilder, they don't want to look like that. A lot of top female bodybuilders have like trained for like 10 plus years, take every supplement, like unbelievably clean diet. Like I'm using the word clean, like as a vague term here, but like eat like protein probably double than like what the average person does. And to be honest, like probably has some like performance enhancing drugs, depending on who we're talking about. Mm-hmm. So what I would say is that if someone like doesn't want to look like that, like good news, like you're probably not going to ever. Like it's because like, yes. There are women who like want to get bulky and like can't do it.
Yeah.
Like, so I think like that's like the first thing.
Right.
The second part is like kind of the focus on like looks and training is like to like, correct me if I'm like wrong on this, and like kind of you want to come in. And I think for myself is that one of the things I like about strength training is that it doesn't really have to be about how you look. I think mm-hmm. that you don't have, you know, you can make it about what your body can accomplish or like what you are capable of doing. Like now you can lift up your kid, now you can do push-ups, you got that like first pull-up. I think these are all things that don't really relate to like what you look like or like how thin you are or like what that must be. And strength training doesn't have to be that at all. I actually train in like what's known as weight neutral training, which means that like I don't ask my clients their weight, I don't ask for before and after photos or body measurements, because we don't need that information. Like at the end of the day, like if you're, you know, if you just want to have like a badass deadlift, we don't have to go down that road. And I'm kind of the mind that when people look at training long term, the more it's not about aesthetics, the better. That's like the way that I see it. Like that's like the more that it's about the process and about what your body is capable of, like you'll enjoy the process more. I think the aesthetics game fails long term, and we can talk about why that is. Like there's a few reasons why like just training for looks like doesn't work out. Yep. We can kind of go into that as well if you'd like.
Yep.
But I'm kind of in the mind that like you need to train for things other than your looks. Otherwise, it's like going to be a bad time eventually.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's actually dive into that because there's something interesting I've always found. I'm going to go on a sidetrack here for a minute, but we will come back to this topic. But I just remember for the first time. So like I played a bunch of sports when I grew up. I never like went to the gym, right? Like it was always just, I was always active because I was playing a ton of sports. But then once I got out of sports and was, you know, in adult life, I was like, I wonder how people do this, right? So trying to figure out how to go to the gym and do stuff like that. But it was really once I started strength training that I noticed when I looked at like my body in the mirror, my body did not change, but I became just more appreciative and just like happy with what my body just did, right? So
you're learning to value yourself beyond your appearance, which I think is really, really valuable, which is something that like, I think sometimes fitness misses is that like, there's a lot of fitness culture that is about what you look like and indirectly what you look like is your worth. And I think like, that's a very scary place to be. And sorry to interrupt you, but like,
oh, no, you're fine. Really important. Yes. No, you're totally right. So bringing it back to that, you know, the kind of pitfall that we get into where we really start off a lot of our training because we want to look better in a swimsuit, right? Or we want to, we're coming up on summer season and I like they, everybody comes out of the woodworks and they're like,
I've already seen the ads for it.
Yep. It's already coming out. Right. Why is that such a problem when we're really only focusing on how we look? Like,
so there's a couple of reasons. And I actually think like the social media age has like made this worse. Is that so the first thing is that like when you're looking for a certain physique or look, it tends to be kind of the idea of like a younger body for the most part. And I think what's challenging about that is that the older you get, the harder it is to look 21. So at the end of the day that like you will like maybe like at first it's fine, but like the idea that your physique won't change from your 21-year-old self when you're 31, 41, 51, like bodies naturally change and there's like nothing wrong with that. And that the idea that like a 51-year-old does not look 21, there's no shame in that. But like if the 51-year-old wants to look like a 21-year-old, it's going to be a bad time, like almost for sure. I think like that's kind of the first aspect as well. The second is that aesthetics really creates like unnecessary comparison traps, which I think are really important as well, is that when you train for aesthetics, a lot of it is about like how you look compared to the other person, which because of social media is now a losing game almost for sure. Because a lot of these algorithms, like regardless of what platform you're on, you're going to see literally the best looking people in the world on your feed in mass. And I think what's important about that is what's important about that is that that's not real life. But if your goal is, you know, I want to look like that person, well, you're trying to look like the best, you know, 0.0001% of people. And just statistically, you're not going to match up. And there's no fault in that. Like, I'm not like shaming the person for that. But like, if your goal is the aesthetics game, that it's really hard to compare yourself to like a very famous Fitspo with a filtered photo with Photoshop. That like at one point, like the comparison game doesn't really work. And it's almost based on the idea that you're not good enough the way you look now. And I think that's a very scary game as well, because I want people to like themselves for beyond their appearance. Like, you know, you're a person who looks a certain way, but you're also, you have a job, you have a family, you're a mother, you're a sister, like you are capable of other things other than your appearance. And when you play the aesthetics game, it reinforces the idea that that is what is the main thing about you. And I think like that's a very scary place to be. And again, like kind of fails long term, because our bodies do change whether we train or not. And there's nothing wrong about that. But when you play the aesthetics game, like it's almost set up to lose at some point. You might like, you might have at the beginning and like at the I totally get at the beginning, like you're new to the gym, you're younger, you like look super fit. And like, but like you should talk to the people, like this happens a lot in the bodybuilding community, who like have these amazing physiques and then they retire and then they lose it. And the mental toll that takes once they finally don't look that way is really, really tough. And there's a lot of bodybuilders who go into like deep depressions afterwards because like that was their self-worth and now they don't have that physique anymore. Yeah. You have a lot of people who like really value their appearance at a young age and then like, you know, their body changed to no fault of their own, but there's a lot of shame in not maintaining that physique. And so I've kind of been of the mind that let's not focus on aesthetics because at some point it's going to fail you. Let's focus on things like strength, which we can keep for longer periods of time. Let's focus on like what your body is capable of and how it helps your life outside of the gym, because those are things that actually improve your life later as opposed to losing them in the process. But yeah, so I'm kind of the mind that like, I think training should be either not about aesthetics at all or as little as possible, with kind of the understanding that we all care to some degree what we look like, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I get that there's some people who like can't remove this entirely, but I do think it's good to have it as little as possible.
Yeah, so many great points there. I always try to get people to focus on like, we're focusing on health and performance. Mm-hmm. Where I don't really work with weight loss. I mean, I do kind of, but like my main focus is, are all of your markers of health where we want them to be? And that's the primary goal. So however we get to that point, cool.
Yeah, right? I think that's important too, is that like, just because you're not focusing on what you look like does not mean that you don't care about health. I think that's important too, is that like, we still care that you're
Oh, we just froze. Hang on just a minute. We're gonna have to go back. Get you unfrozen here. I hope that's not my internet. Am I frozen on your side? Oh, are you back? Press.
I feel like play. I interrupted you and then the internet went out.
No, it's totally fine. I'm trying to remember actually what I had just said.
you were talking about how you don't train for weight loss and how you're more performance based than like about the weight on the scale.
Yeah. So let's just pick up from there and I'll patch this in. But do you remember what you said before you started, before we lost it?
I was talking about how aesthetics wasn't like, just because you're not training for looks doesn't mean you're not caring about your health, like things like blood pressure and hypertension and like your resting heart rate. These are all things that like still matter, even if we're not necessarily going for a certain look. That was my like point that I would make.
Yeah, absolutely. So based off of, you know, those things, gosh, there's just still so much I feel like we could cover when it comes to strength training. But is there anything else, I think, in this kind of idea of strength training that we didn't really cover that you wanted to talk about today?
I think I've covered all the things that I wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like
I want to talk about. I want to talk about the course, but like other than plugging my stuff at the end, like I don't have any. I'm happy to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Yeah, no, you're good. You're good.
we can talk about whatever you want, but I had nothing in particular that I wanted to like emphasize.
Okay, awesome. So yeah, let's talk about that, the course that you have. So it's called it's How to Have a Badass Relationship with Nutrition and Fitness, right?
Yeah, with food and fitness. Yeah.
With food and fitness. Okay. You want to tell us a little bit about that course.
Yeah. So it's a course that I made with my good friend, Christy Brown. You can find her like at Intuitively Strong. She's also really big on TikTok. It's a course we really want to focus kind of the your fitness journey. So she talks a lot about like how all foods can fit, how we don't want, you know, like no foods are good or bad, and how like you can kind of, you know, if you have certain foods that you don't feel guilty or shame about them, and kind of how to eat in a way that is more about like
fueling your body and like nourishing it in the way that it deserves, as opposed to like the hard food rules that can sometimes go wrong. So that's like her side of it. I talk a lot about like, what is the right fitness goal for you? The importance of rest days, why aesthetics training fails long-term, as well as kind of setting yourself up to be like, which exercise tools are valuable for you as opposed to which ones aren't. So like, you know, is the weight, is using, you know, the weight on the scale valuable for your journey? We kind of talk about if that is, or like, is like measuring every calorie like actually valuable, and like kind of going from there. But we're really just making the course so that you can fit your, you know, we want your fitness journey to be empowering. We want it to be confident, and we want it to be without any like guilt or shame. And I think like that's important too, is that like the process of the journey matters just as much as the end goal. And we want to make sure that you're setting yourself up to enjoy strength training, enjoy the process of lifting, that you can feel confident throughout, that you don't feel guilty for missing a workout. Like these are all things that I don't think get talked about enough, that we go like really deep into the course. And so it's really heavy on like the mindset aspect of your fitness journey.
Love it. So it's self-paced, right?
And it's self-paced. Yes. So both Christy and I both have like one-on-one coaching for people who are like, they want to go that route and they want help with like their strength training goals. But for people who prefer a more like self-paced option, you get the course for as long as it takes you to need it. So even though it's 8 weeks, if you really wanted to like blow through all in like 1 week, like you could do that if you wanted to, or if you want to like do one a month, we really encourage that like you should go at the pace that is comfortable to you. That like if the 8 week course takes 16 weeks or 24 weeks or like, and that's the pace you have to go at, that's fine. You have the course for as long as you need it, is what it was, you know. But yeah, it's self-paced.
Oh, that's so cool. So where can they find that? And it starts up soon, right?
Yes, so it is launching on the 26th. You actually can buy it now if you want. Like you can use, there's a link in my bio as well as on Christy's website as well. There's going to be, we haven't announced it yet, but we're going to be adding like extra incentives for like why you would buy on the 26th. We're going to be adding a little bit extra support for the course on the 26th for people who want to wait. Or if you want to buy the course ahead of time, like it is open on the website. People can go through there. And if they have any questions about the course, like me and Christy, like we're very like DMs open. Like we're very like, if people have questions, like I always try and get back to every message like within a day, if not less. So if people do have questions about how it works, that's where I would encourage. You can also use the link in my bio to like go directly to the course and kind of check it out and like see if it's right for you.
I'll definitely link it in the show notes for sure, so that people can go grab that, and it'll be up on my website too, so people can
go see that link.
Oh yeah, for sure. So that's awesome. So they can find you on Instagram at Training Strong Women, right? Did I get that right?
Yes. So there's kind of two main places you can find me. Instagram is at Training Strong Women. I do like morning coffee chats where I talk about different topics that people ask me. I also have a podcast called Who's Lifting Today, where I kind of talk about the benefits of strength training from like a weight neutral approach. So instead of talking about what it makes you look like, we talk about like the how you can get stronger, as well as like why getting stronger is so valuable to your life. Those are like the two main ways. I'm trying to get more into Clubhouse, but that's like a newer, I think, place. But if people are Clubhouse people, they're welcome to add me there as well. Cool. But yeah, Instagram and podcast are like the main two.
Love it. Love it. All right. Well, anything else you want to wrap up with?
No, I appreciate being on the podcast. Yeah. I really, you know, I think strength training is underrated in what it can do for your life. I think there's a ton of benefits, even just beyond like the physical health. And for someone who is nervous about strength training or like doesn't, you know how to get there yet, I would say strength training's for everybody. That's like the first thing that I would say. And that like, you know, we all started as beginners, but the beginning part is almost like the most fun because you can see a ton of strength progress in a very short period of time. And if you aren't lifting weights yet, I strongly encourage you to do so.
For sure. Oh, and I remembered the last question. They can do this at home, right? If people want to work with you, they can do it from their home.
Yes. So it always depends on like what their goals are. So like kind of as an example, like if you want to get your first pull up, like we need a pull up bar, like there's things like that. So
yeah,
but right. That's like the first thing that so what equipment you have kind of matters, what equipment you have and what your fitness goals are. But yeah, I have clients who work out in the gym. I have clients who work out in their home. And it kind of, yeah, that's totally fine. Like they don't need to, you know, buy an Equinox gym pass if they like don't want to.
Sure. Oh, that's so great. Well, gosh, Mark, it was so great to have you. Thank you so much. I'm very passionate about this specific topic. So I'm so thankful that you were willing to come on and share everything that you know with us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. Thank you for, thank you for having me. It was fun.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So that's the end of the Dr. K show. Thank you everybody for watching. If you appreciated this interview, if you would share it with somebody that you know that might enjoy it as well, that would be absolutely amazing. So thanks everybody, and take care, and we'll see you next week for another episode.